My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. It's part of the Secret Recordings Network, back with a brand new episode. More guests to talk to. We've got two guests on this episode. They're together. We'll chat to Rach and Paul in just a moment. We'll talk about D23, which is happening this weekend as well. Some predictions about what might be coming to Walt Disney World, or what might be announced this weekend, and then we'll look forward to over the next few years. And also your questions, as we do. We always like to answer your questions here on the podcast. If you want to get in touch, make sure you're following on the socials at Pop Magical, be it Instagram or X or Facebook. Of course, you can listen to this podcast on YouTube as well. If you want to listen along with subtitles, please do. And if you want to get in touch by any of those, please just drop me a message. Any questions, nothing is too stupid. Joe has sent me a message on Instagram at Pop Magical about shoe recommendations. Andy, I'm looking for something that's comfortable but waterproof and not Crocs. Okay, comfortable, waterproof, not Crocs. I know a lot of people, I've seen people in flip-flops or sandals at theme parks. I don't think they're that practical if you're doing a lot of walking or a lot of standing. And sometimes, like, oh, it's not too bad at Disney World because there's no free hanging coasters. But like, if you go over to Islands of Adventure where you've got, you know, your feet are dangling, then you can't have your flip-flops. You have to take your shoes off. So I probably wouldn't go for that. I don't think they're practical. What I would say is, if you think about what kind of trainers, I always think trainers are the best for a theme park. You know, you can be doing 30,000 steps a day sometimes. And there's a lot of standing as well. Like if you're waiting for the fireworks, you're standing, what, half an hour, maybe even an hour. So what's comfortable for standing in? And what trainers would you wear to run a marathon if you were doing one? What's the most comfortable if you're going out for a long walk? And is there a waterproof version of your favorite trainer on running? The ones that I use are on running. They're not cheap. This is the only thing. So I've got some waterproof on running. I'll tend now to actually only wear them when I'm at Walt Disney World. If I get a new pair, I get a couple of Disney trips out of it, but I won't wear them at any other time. And then when they kind of start getting a little bit worn, I'll just kind of like wear them at home to the gym or whatever. But I do like on running, but they're expensive. Saying that, if you've got your normal trainers that you find really comfortable, you can get silicone shoe covers. Have a look on Amazon. A lot of people swear by them. But that's what I go for. Don't buy a brand new pair of trainers and wear them for the first time on your first day at Disney World, because you're only going to get blisters. But yeah, I know what you mean, especially this time of year. This year has been very, very wet in Florida this summer. So yeah, you're looking for something that's comfortable but waterproof. I don't know, maybe Crocs. Don't be embarrassed about where, if it's just the look of Crocs, you know, you're at Disney World, nobody is judging you. Nobody. So whatever's comfortable, or just pack a clean pair of socks in your handbag if you can. But if you have any questions, drop me a message at Pod Magical. DMs are always open. We'll have all the latest news coming up later on. Everything that's going on in Disney World, if you're going over the next few weeks, we'll talk about Halloween and we'll talk about D23. But right now, let's chat Disney with our guests, shall we? Here's Rach and Paul. Let's welcome Rach and Paul onto this episode of the podcast. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
You're DVC members, Disney Vacation Club.
We are, yes.
Quite new.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that later on. First of all, let's ask the big question. Why do you love Walt Disney World? What is it?
It is just, I think, how you feel when you're there and when you're in the parks. Often you're just so much more present than a lot of other times. You're just immersed in it, and how much there is to do. We're not really people that can sit around very well.
We don't do well same. On the beach.
No.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so it's just perfect. And I think just like when you step inside and kind of just, yeah, how you feel and that you can let go, it's just great.
I find that question quite hard to answer. It's kind of like a, if you know, you know, type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And it's quite funny you say, like, we're not the kind of people who can sit around on a beach. I'm the same. But, like, get me halfway through my holiday. If I've been there a week at Disney World, I'm suddenly finding just sitting down and people watching, I can quite happily sit at the boardwalk for an hour and just watch the world go by.
Definitely. A week at Disney World is like 10 weeks anywhere else, I think.
go hard or go home. Or go hard and then go home.
Yeah.
So when was the first time you both went? Had you been before knowing each other, or did you go together? Was that your first time?
I went a few times as a kid, but it's kind of right at the edge of what I can remember. My only memories are being terrified of Chip and Dale.
What?
Strongly remember that. And watching the Main Street Electrical Parade from Main Street and just being in awe of all of it. And I know we stayed at either the Swan or the Dolphin. And that's about it. That's what I've got from my childhood. And then we have been together three times now over the last few years.
Three times to Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
And I went to Walt Disney World in 2005 as a kid with my family. I remember I have three brothers, and one of my brothers and I were big enough to do all the coasters, and we felt really cool because my other two brothers couldn't do it. And we were just absolutely loving it, and my parents just taking it in turns to be like, who's going to do this one with these two and whatever they want to do. And then just the magic in front of the castle. Those are like my distinct memories from that trip.
Yeah.
Can you remember the big thing, the first time you went, like before you knew each other, like your first visit, what were the big things that people were excited about? Was there anything like new in that particular time, you remember?
That is such a good question. I can't really remember from the first times that we went. So I went 2005, 2009, and then we went back together in 20...
Well, we booked for it. It was 2020. It was meant to be, and obviously, that didn't happen. It was 22 by the time we went. Yeah, that was true.
But you got back into it in like 2016.
Around 20, I think it was 2016. I was trying to plan a trip for my birthday, and I was deciding between some places I just wasn't really up for.
You got to say where you were deciding between.
All right,
go on.
Ibiza or Disney. And I just wasn't up for it. And my brother had got back into Disney, and he was the one who said to me, you should definitely go there. You'll love it. So we went there instead, and I did love it. And the rest is history.
Yeah, the right choice.
Yeah.
Disney's probably more hardcore than Ibiza.
It is, I reckon so.
Yeah.
Way more steps.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the first time you went together? Where did that decision come from?
I mean, the distinct memory I have is we checked into Pop Century, so we were staying there for 2 weeks, and just feeling like so emotional, so happy that we'd finally got there. We rearranged it a couple of times and finally went in 22, and just being so excited and just feeling like hadn't been there for years and just feeling like it was just such a special trip.
It was me, but I brought you back.
And
brought you back.
Brought me back in.
Back into the fold, into the cult.
Exactly. The build up with rearranging it a couple of times with COVID, and then getting there, and you just burst into tears.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that was really sweet. That was awesome.
That's great.
So three times you've been together, but you're now DVC owners, part of Disney Vacation Club. What made you buy into that? Because a lot of people in the UK, there seems to be more people in the UK getting into DVC, but what made you make that decision? Because that's a big commitment.
So...
yeah, you should tell the story.
We were on a Disney cruise last year.
Can I start before that? We were there on a previous trip in 24, and you had learned that they were giving away a little voucher if you went to do a DVC tour. And we thought, what's the harm in that?
Yeah.
So we did a tour at the Riviera, which I think just planted the seed, and we talked about it a lot and decided it wasn't the time. And then on this cruise last year.
Yeah. And then we were on the cruise and Paul went to the toilet and I was chatting away to the two girls who were on the ship and had come across and worked for DVC. And 5 minutes later, we were in the DVC sales room having a chat about could we purchase some points for the Riviera.
I left it alone.
Yeah. I think the Disney cruises are amazing, but I just want to be in Walt Disney World.
It's funny when you said you were on the Disney cruise when you bought, because that's where I bought as well, and I was thinking, I know what's coming here. You went to the DVC talk because they were giving away a £50 voucher, and then you ended up buying.
Well, I left for H unsupervised for about 10 minutes and came back, and we were buying DVC, so that's how it went down from my side.
Yeah.
So where's your home resort? How many points have you got?
Our home resort is at the Riviera. We have 150 points, but Paul's favourite activity at the moment is looking at what contracts could we add on to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It feels like a starter points. Just enough to get the perks, but maybe something to build on.
Yeah, because you have to have so much. Well, you can buy as many or as little points as you want, but you have to buy so many to get what they call, is it called? They call it the blue card. At that point, you can start getting invited to events and you can buy the discounted annual pass and stuff like that. Is that 150 points to get through the threshold, if you like?
Yeah, I think it might have been less in the past, but when we bought it was 150. And yeah, it's all those things. It's the discounts. It's the member lounges, which they're building a couple of new ones.
They built
a new one in Magic Kingdom. All that stuff, the cutoff is 150. So we thought, well, we'll start there.
But now you're looking at other places. I know this because haven't you just recently done a vlog about DVC, like a TED Talk?
We did. We are really good at, I'm very good at chatting in circles about things. So we sat down and was like, actually, let's just do a little bit of chat about it. As you say, not many people from the UK all seem to know what it is. So we were like, let's just do a kind of overview. And we ended up, I think 15 minutes later, we were like, oh, we've been really rambling on.
But it is quite confusing though, because you have a home resort, but you're given points, and different times of the year and different nights have got different amount of points. And like 11 months out, you can book into your home resort, but then 7 months out, you can book anywhere else, and you can bank points and you can borrow points from the following year. And it's a real minefield, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a lot to get your head around. I'm assuming, you know, ChatGPT maybe can make that easier for people these days, but you definitely need to know what you're doing. It's a big, it's a big commitment that you want to be sure is right for you. And so I think anything, certainly for us, it was taking the time to get really comfortable with how it all works and be able to make decisions, do the maths and everything else in order for us to make our decision. And yeah, I mean, we're still learning this stuff, but between us, DVCers, if we can help each other out and help people out who are thinking about it, just understand all the bits and bobs, hopefully that's helpful for people.
Yeah.
And have you had your first DVC stay yet?
Yeah, we did.
We did that this year. So our welcome home stay was 2 weeks this year, and we stayed at the Riviera first, as that's our home resort. Then over to Saratoga Springs, and then the Grand Floridian, which was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you had enough points to stay at all those for how long?
2 weeks.
It was two weeks. So within that 150, our original plan was that we would pull them up, because you can bank forward or borrow back, pull them up to have 300 points to do a 2 week trip every 2 years. And it was just over 300 points to do that, which was amazing. I was surprised we could do all of that with that amount.
Yeah, I think if you work it out, you'll start playing around with it and you start looking at points charts. You go, well, if we go in September, the points are really low. And if we can get to Animal Kingdom, there's certain nights when it's like 9 points a night. So 150 points, suddenly you go, actually, we can go every year for 2 weeks. You can really work it if you can get the rooms and work the system.
Definitely. I think it's exactly it. And that's you learn the tricks, I guess, as you go. I think for us, we definitely wanted to do a Riviera, which is not the cheapest stay, but we wanted to do it. And we forked out for a room which ended up having a view of the Epcot fireworks, which was just unbelievable. And we didn't realize that's what we were going to get. And then a theme park view of Grand Floridian, which again is one of those bucket lists. I remember looking over at the Grand Floridian thinking, who gets to stay there? And what banks did they rob?
did you rob, Paul?
I can't talk about that
So while we're talking about resorts, have you got a particular favorite resort at Disney World? Because your DVC, you can pretty much stay at all of them now when you want.
It's addictive. We just want to stay at all of them. I mean Riviera, I'm so happy as our home resort.
You
have where would you love to stay that we haven't stayed at? I think hopefully I know your answer.
So I'd love to do Animal Kingdom Lodge. We haven't stayed there yet. We also went for the first time to Wilderness Lodge this
Just
trip,
to have a look
just to
around.
have a look around, get some food. We were very good at finding all the snacks. So yeah, we went over there, and that is definitely, we actually, our first on the trip before in 24, we bought a stay at Old Key West off one of the DVC sites. And that's kind of also what started it all. And
Yeah, that's awesome.
we really liked it there as well.
Oh, so you
Special
rented
mention
points, because you
to.
can rent points from other DVC owners as well, can't you? Is that what you did?
Yeah, well, we rented,
Yes.
rather than renting points, it was like a, so you can rent points and you can also rent pre, I guess, pre-rented stays.
Right, okay. So they book the stay
Stay.
and on certain nights.
And that was really great. I just wanted to give a small shout out to the new Polly Tower because I would love to stay in there.
Oh, yeah,
And we had a little look
definitely.
around there as well on our last trip, didn't we?
Yeah.
You did mention that you did a bit of a TED talk on DVC. So if we want to have a look at some of your vlogs, where can we find you on that while we're talking about that?
Yeah, so our YouTube is Rach and Paul 1401, and the same on Instagram and the same on TikTok. And we really just started it mainly because we'd love to just meet other people like yourself who just love it, and happy to chat about it. Not all of our family and friends want to chat about Disney for hours like we do. And also because we want the memories. We don't always have the best of memories when we kind of look back on things. So just being able to even watch the trips back ourselves is one of
It's quite fun
you
to
go, I
watch.
forgot
Oh,
we did that.
yeah, exactly. And we're complete beginners, right? We love watching other people's trips, and we've been watching other people's vlogs for a long time and enjoying it. And we decided to take the plunge this year, so it's a new thing for us. So we'll let
Yeah.
it go. I was thinking about, I don't know if you had this the same, Andy, but when you grow up and your parents pull out the camera and record, your birthday parties and things like
Yeah.
that. This is like the modern way to do that. And if other people get a bit of joy from that as well because they love it too, then that's amazing.
Exactly. And it's a great community as well from, podcasts and vlogs and just people who just do a lot of online stuff. It's a really nice big community of Disney fans. And like you say, they get it. They get it. Like family don't, friends what don't, people at work don't, but we do.
Yeah, it's been so nice, hasn't it? People are really, really lovely.
And so
Yeah.
supportive. So yeah, it's just been great to already kind of meet some people virtually and chat about our favorite thing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your favorite memories then. You're talking about, filming it and saving memories for future. Have you got particular favorite Disney World memories?
One of mine has to be this year. So we super delayed and we checked into the Riviera on this trip, and just as we had no idea where our room was going to be, and we got in there, and probably about 5 minutes later, the Epcot fireworks started, and we could see them, and we could also see Fantasmic going on at Hollywood Studios
And Magic Kingdom
and Magic
fireworks
Kingdom fireworks,
over
sorry.
the Epcot ball
Yeah,
later
and
on.
that was just one of the most insane moments. Again, not knowing how we would ever stay in the Riviera, and then being there and seeing all of those from your room.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. We were on the if people can picture the Riviera and know it, on the Skyliner side, so you
Yeah.
sort of
Oh,
have
yeah.
through that side of well, definitely Epcot, and then Hollywood Studios in the background. Yeah, that was surreal.
Yeah, I stayed there 4th of July weekend in one of the tower studios, which are quite hard to get, but like really low points. And I've stayed there a few times now, being a DVC owner at Riviera, it's easy to get in. And I've always been like up towards the top, so you can always sit out and watch the fireworks. However, this time we were on the ground floor, so we just had people walking past. But it was, we wanted to be in the park to watch the fireworks anyway, but yeah, it was very different.
I think we watched the Epcot fireworks from about 60 different places on the last
Yeah,
trip.
you can.
Yeah, including Topolino's Terrace, which was that was a magical memory for me, watching it there with
Yeah, that
everyone
was
and having
good.
that dinner. We also had it as our kind of anniversary dinner, a bit of a late wedding anniversary dinner, but that was also a big memory for me.
And on that Topolino's night, we filmed somebody's proposal, which was so special. So,
They came over and asked us to film it. We
oh, so we didn't just like film them, yeah. But this guy came over to us and we were like, "What is he looking for?" And he just said, "I'm about to propose to my girlfriend,
He
please
gave me
can
this
you," and
phone.
gave me his phone and, "Could you video it?" I felt all the pressure, but I was like,
Yeah.
"This is amazing."
You did a wonderful job. That was really
Yeah,
cool.
that
Yeah.
was really cool.
If it's your own, it's fine. But if it's somebody else's and you don't know them, that's real pressure on, isn't it?
It is. We had to do a backup camera with Paul. And
We must have looked very suspect, trying to be subtle. We were definitely the opposite of subtle, but I think I think we got away with it.
Yeah.
Just in case. So where are your favourite places to eat around the parks, either in the parks or in the resorts? What are your favourite restaurants?
Oh, my God.
So many.
Oh, here we go. We got foodies. Go on.
Real foodies. We went to Sebastian's for the first time this trip, and I don't know why we have not been there before. I don't eat meat, and for someone who doesn't eat meat, it is amazing. The tofu that they had there, like there's kind of like Disney flavoring or like Disney spice, and then at Sebastian's, they like it's so good. And of course, there's a bread pudding there, which is just unbelievable.
Yes, better than O'Hanus, I think, and cheaper.
I agree.
I don't know. Well,
am I being controversial?
A few years ago, I would have said Ohana is one of, like, right out there is maybe my favourite restaurant. I don't know if I feel that way anymore, but I think the bread pudding is still my number one. We had it in Tambu Lounge next door this trip, which is a really great way to do it.
And of course, you just go there, can't you?
Yeah. But you also eat a little bit more plant-based food. So Sebastian's was really, really good for
you. So good.
For your
bread pudding. So what did they bring you two platters, one meat and one plant-based?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing when we go to a family style, we get one meat, one plant-based. So we come, like, we roll out of there in a full-on food coma because there is just so much food. But it's the best way to be.
Yeah, of course. You know, you're on holiday, so that's fine. We'll worry about the diet when we get back.
Yeah.
We're on holiday, yeah. By about day 10, it's
day 10, you go, I just want some broccoli. Just broccoli, that's fine.
Day 10, we're usually on Uber Eats ordering some salad from somewhere nearby for an extortionate delivery fee, just to have something for a minute.
Green. Yeah. anywhere else you like to eat before we move on?
Yeah, I mentioned Topolino's. I think that it's not for a particular dish, but just the whole thing, I think, with the fireworks and the views and the service and the menu's great, and it's our home resort. But I Gico Animal Kingdom Lodge is a favourite of mine. I think if you're a little bit more into slightly more adventurous food, they've got lots of interesting things. Skipper Canteen, I think, in Magic Kingdom. Oh, I think Magic Kingdom gets maybe fairly a hard time for food, but I think that's
it.
And then Disney Springs, Polite Pig is right up there for both of us, isn't it? And then Homecoming, maybe more for me. Homecoming's a staple. I think that's one of the popular all round, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely Skipper Canteen. That's such a good show.
Yeah. And then a cookie from Gideon.
Perfect day, perfect dessert, isn't it? The thing, when I was looking at DVC when we were thinking of buying, the thing that kind of like made me go, oh, is this right? Is this not right? Is because of the great package deals that we get here in the UK. You know, you get the 14-day ticket and free dining and stuff like that. So I've been on trips with free dining and then going, doing free dining and then having to pay, but having like the 10% annual pass or DVC discount. Was that the same for you? Have you done free dining before and now you've got to pay?
Never done the free dining.
Okay.
I remember. No, we do the 14-day ticket, so you get your memory maker and you get a decent price on the park tickets. But haven't had to begrudge stepping back from free dining. So for us, the discount is all feels like a big benefit. Although we keep forgetting to tell people that we've got it.
I think we got so excited by it. Also, the price at Sebastian's and how good that is that we forgot to even mention.
We did. We definitely didn't ask for it at Sebastian's, and we definitely forgot it at some other places, but we'll get you set.
I think Sebastian's, I think you're only going to save like $4 each anyway, because it's so cheap anyway.
It's unbelievable.
What was it?
$39 each.
Less than $40 for you know,
basically.
Well, basically all you can eat, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, yeah, really good. That's good.
Till they roll you out. What about favourite attractions? Have you got similar favourite attractions, or do you disagree when it comes to favourite rides or parades or nighttime shows?
I think we're pretty similar. We both love Rise, the Resistance, and Flight of Passage.
Yeah.
And then...
I love Soarin'. Oh, yeah. I'll always love Soarin'. That's a big one for me.
You got the new one now, Soarin' Across America.
Have you done it? Have you been?
Yes, just the other week for 4th of July weekend. I like it. It's not my favourite.
Watch it. Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think of it compared with Around the World?
See, well, my favourite one was the original, the OG Soarin' Across California, because I just love the smells of the oranges.
Yeah.
But I like it. It was really grand, the fact that you're in the Grand Canyon and there's the Statue of Liberty and the Hollywood sign. But I thought the scenes themselves, they're just like a bit short. It just felt a bit choppy. But I loved it. Right. I loved it. It was really good. It was really good. And a great thing to do for the... 250th.
Great time to do it as well. Yeah, that's awesome. That'll be really fun. I think there's maybe like you have with the orange groves, I have the nostalgia for the around the world version of Soarin', so they'd always have that, but it'd be good to see different versions. And I like that they update it and try different things.
Yeah. What's your favourite smell on there, Paul? What's your favourite smell?
Oh, that's a good question. It might be the African savannah.
Okay, because they kind of keep that smell. I can't remember whereabouts in America it was, but there's somewhere in America that you saw over and it smells like the elephants.
Great. Okay. Well, as long as they keep the scent, you can close your eyes and pretend
they keep the scent.
One.
Yeah. That's good. You'll enjoy it. Anything you don't like?
Ooh.
This was such a hard. Well, there's one thing we don't really like. I don't like turkey legs.
You hate turkey legs.
I really do. We don't really hate much and dislike much in life. But the one thing that is for me is turkey legs. I just can't do it. I can't be near them. I can't look at them. They're just a lot.
What is it about? Because I used to love turkey legs, but now I'm the same. I know there was a rumour about them actually being ostrich, which is just a rumour. It's rubbish. But yeah, I went from loving turkey legs to like the same. Go like, oh, disgusting.
Yeah, it's like a core memory from when I went in 2005 and I have not eaten meat since.
It turned you veggie, didn't it?
Yeah, basically.
Did it?
Yeah, I just can't do, I just don't think you should be walking around with those. I don't know. There's just something about it.
Yeah. They are a lot. I'm amazed that it's a strong reaction from you.
It is, given that I really don't hate anything else at Disney or in life, but it's just those.
Just turkey legs. Do you stay at Disney for the whole holiday, or do you venture out anywhere else?
We are very much staying in the bubble the whole trip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love to be in the bubble the whole time. We did last trip. We went over to Kennedy Space Center, which is such a good day. We really enjoyed it there. And we'll hire a car for maybe like 1 to 2 days. So Celebration, Winter Garden, but usually just a couple of days.
Yeah. We'll do Universal.
We'll
always do Universal. The last trip, we went to Epic Universe for the first time, which was amazing. We didn't do the classic parks that time, but I think we probably would next time.
Yeah.
So we'll always do Universal as well. But yeah, we're pretty much full-on bubble people, aren't we? And we're not quite, a lot of people I see from the UK hire a car while they're there, and I don't think we've quite got our head around that. I guess if you're going to go out and do lots of other things, that makes sense. But we're sort of just reliant on the Disney buses and the Skyliner.
How was the driving? Who did the driving?
Driving's pretty easy over there. It's great. Massive roads.
Everything's twice the size, so you've got a lot of room for error.
Was there a lot of error, Rach?
That's
just the way you said it.
I know, really brought that up. Maybe that's a core memory.
Just didn't want to say. We'll just mention it on we'll save it for a podcast.
No, it's good. It's nice driving over there, isn't it? And yes. It was, I mean, Celebration was really, really great to visit. I'll definitely get back there. That was great. And the Space Center too.
Yes.
Yeah. I think what you'll find now that you're DVC members and you know that you're going to be going there for the next 50 years because you signed up to it, you'll probably end up spending more and more time at Disney. This is what I found, spending more time at Disney but actually doing less and just going, just spend some time in the room or by the pool or just hanging around the boardwalk or wander over to Disney Springs. I don't know what it is. It's like a mentality going, I'm going to be coming here for years. It's not like going, well, we've got to save up and will we be coming again? This could be the last time. You know that you've got to because you've got points every year.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I think we felt that a bit. I don't want to speak on your behalf. I definitely felt that a bit on this trip. That exactly what you described, which that sort of feeling that you know you'll be back. So there isn't that as much pressure to try and do everything you desperately want to do because there'll be another chance to do it. And we already loved going around, sort of ambling around the hotels and the boardwalk, definitely, and Springs, and taking it a bit slower and kind of maybe going around beyond the parks. And I think, especially staying at hotels where there's a bit more amenities, and we did a lot of time in the pools at Grand Floridian and Saratoga, especially, and walking around to Springs from Saratoga. We didn't do any parks while we were at Saratoga, for example, and we just kind of walked between Saratoga Springs and Disney Springs, and that was awesome. It's like a little weekend away from the holiday where we were away on, right?
That's a great idea. So how many days were you at Saratoga?
Just two nights, three nights.
So how did you spend it? I'm curious now how you spent your days. If you didn't go to the park, they'd be going, they went to Disney World and didn't go to a park, and they were like, 2 days? What did you do with your time?
Well, bear in mind, we've just done a week of full-on parks at this point, so we definitely had our park itch scratched, as it were. We were checking on Saturday morning, and we left on the Monday morning, didn't we? So I think we made our way over there via Old Key West and Olivia's. Which was lovely. I had a little bite to eat at Olivia's and just a bit of reminiscing about staying at Old Key West. And then we got the boat onto Disney Springs, did a bit of shopping in Disney Springs, went and checked in at Saratoga, went back to Springs for dinner in the evening. Is that right? I think that's right.
Yeah.
And then pretty much repeat on Sunday. Went to Homecoming and desperately for opening time to see if we can get in for brunch, because we didn't manage to secure a reservation in advance, and we managed to get in within 5 minutes or something, which is amazing.
That's good.
Just enjoyed Springs for the whole day. I think we had dinner at Summer House on the Lake that night. We did Boathouse on Saturday, Summer House on the Sunday. And spent some time at Saratoga by the pool, did some laundry. Another perk of DVC resorts that you can do laundry for free. Is it for free, or have they got laundry options?
Yeah.
Spoke to some, 40 year on and plus DVC members in by the pool, telling us all about their stories and all the things they'd done, which was really fun. I feel like Saratoga is a real kind of, I don't know if you've experienced this, Andy, like really also old school DVC resort with some real kind of, OGs of DVC with some great stories. Everyone's happy to talk about it, which is lovely. So we did quite a lot.
Because was the original DVC resort, wasn't it, before they started adding on here, there and everywhere? Wasn't that the original
one? Yeah, I think it was Old Key West and then Saratoga were the first two. And I think between them, the people we met there seemed to be, DVC lifers, shall we say. And they've got us everything. It's cool. And they've done all sorts of things with their memberships. So that was it, really. I think. And then Monday, what did we do? I think we went to Magic Kingdom. Do we even go in? I can't remember going in. Maybe just to fill up my water or something. And then walked round to Grand Floridian and checked in there.
Awesome. Quite a chill weekend. I love that. If I was to give you your perfect day at Walt Disney World, not your only day, but your perfect day, how would you spend it? Where would you stay? What would you do? Where would you eat?
This is so unbelievably hard.
Are you giving me this one?
Yeah.
I can take this one. I can take this one. So we're staying at the Riviera, because I think we have to say that at this point. And maybe if we spoke again in a couple of years, that would change. But we're staying at the Riviera for this one. Start with a coffee from Le Petit Café. And then the day finishes. It's been a perfect day.
That's it.
Rachel's, it was a point from the last trip that we spent a lot of time at Le Petit Café.
We dropped Le Petit Café pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Did they get to know your order when you just turned up every morning?
I think they did. Yeah, I think they got used to it. I think they got used to it after a while. I was experimenting with a few orders. So we got a coffee from Le Petit Café, Skyliner to Epcot, I think, and pastries from Les Halles, which is a favourite of ours.
Mm-hmm.
A little sort of mooch around the World Showcase down towards the front. I think we'd have to do soaring, have to do Living with the Land. Quite like the new test track. We liked that, didn't we? We went on that. Maybe Cosmic Rewind, if the queue's not outrageous. I know it probably is worth the queue, but I think we didn't.
We'll get you a lightning lane for that. We'll chuck you a lightning lane in for free for that.
Fine.
Yeah, right. You're welcome.
Say hi to Judy Dench on Spaceship Earth. I think that's a must do. Then what are we doing? We'll take the monorail to the Polynesian for lunch. I don't know what time. This is a bit of unrealism in this day, but either Tonga toast or the bread pudding, depending what time it is and whether it's on the menus. Ahana noodles maybe as well, just had something savoury. And then Magic Kingdom, we'll do the classics: Big Thunder, Tiana's, People Mover, Pirates, Jungle Cruise, Mine Train, everything.
Do everything.
Do everything. And then what will we do then? Back to the resort for a freshen up. And then Skyliner to Hollywood Studios. We're basically going to every park here.
Okay.
What are we going to do? Galaxy's Edge as the light comes down and all the lights come on. I think that's a brilliant time to be in Galaxy's
Golden
Edge.
Golden hour, yeah.
Maybe a Ronto Wrap, definitely Rise of Resistance, and then Fantasmic. Maybe Mickey and Minnie's on the way around and we finish with Fantasmic. How's that? And then Skyliner back to Riviera. Just in time for the Epcot fireworks that definitely would have already been on, and those times don't work.
You could probably do it the other way around, actually. Sometimes they have Fantasmic on really late at night. So maybe you could do that one.
Perfect.
Before you go, you did mention, Paul, at the beginning of this podcast that you had a fear of Chip and Dale. Have you overcome that fear? How is your relationship with the boys now?
It's civil. We've got a civil relationship. I wouldn't say we're best friends, but I can handle it now. We don't tend to. We're a bit funny about meeting the characters, aren't we? It's not on our must-do list. Except Mickey, we'll always meet Mickey.
And Edna Mode.
And you will always meet Edna Mode, which is really quite niche, but I love it.
Very
She's
niche,
great.
But that's my must-do.
but yeah, I'm comfortable with Chip and Dale. That's definitely a me problem, not a them problem.
Okay, it was just time. Just a bit of time. Yeah. Just a bit of time and space.
Needed time.
Lovely chatting to you both. Let us know about your socials again. Where can we find you?
So it's Rach and Paul 1401 on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram.
And lots
lovely
of
chat.
The 1401 is for the address of the Imagineering, because that would be our dream job in an alternate life.
Oh, right. I should have asked where for. I thought it was just because that was the only numbers that were available. Didn't even twig. Didn't even connect that one there. Rach and Paul, thanks for chatting. Have a magical day.
Thank you. You too.
If you are heading over to Orlando over the next few weeks, well, you're a good time because the Orlando schools go back, or they've gone back now. So this is that couple of weeks where if you do have kids who are still off on school holidays, I know Scotland have gone back, unfortunately, but if you've got kids off and you don't mind the heat, it should be quiet now, end of August through September. It's pretty much a quiet-ish period. Pound to dollar, you're looking about 1.35. Weather-wise, highest temperatures during the day are mid-30s-ish. So kind of like we've had here in the UK over the last few days, actually. You're still getting those afternoon storms. Halloween season is not upon us. Halloween season has arrived. Last week was the first few Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween parties over at the Magic Kingdom. So remember, they're on select nights. You need a separate ticket for that, which also means that Happily Ever After won't be on those nights. And the nights that it is on is particularly busy. It's Cool Kids Summer. That's running at the moment. And then we get towards the end of August is the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, which starts on August the 27th, running to November the 21st. Something brand new that they announced last week. It was Cheers to Cheese at the Communico Hall in Epcot. That's where the Cool Kids Summer Goofy party is at the minute. That is going to be an exhibition of fun facts about cheese. Well, you know, it's Mickey Mouse, isn't it? He loves the cheese. You've also got the concert series and loads of global marketplaces happening as well at Epcot. So that's Food and Wine, a couple of weeks to go before that starts. We've got Halloween Horror Nights that starts just after that as well. If you want to be, you want the living daylights frightened out of you, that starts on the 28th of August, right through to November the 1st, over at Universal Orlando Resort. They've got a brand new Ozzy Osbourne house that they've got this year as well. So that starts very soon, well and truly into the Halloween spooky season. I saw that Joffrey's posted that pumpkin spice lattes are back. So that's where we are with that. There hasn't been a lot of news on this episode, in fact, the last few episodes. That is because this weekend is D23, the big expo, the big Disney fan event that happens every other year over in California. This year, this is where a lot of announcements are going to be made, not just about the Disney parks, but cruises and films and TV and basically anything that's connected with Disney. Theme parks for us, Saturday night, LA time, is when the parks panel is going to be held. I think it's 7, 8 o'clock on Saturday night. That's going to be like 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday for us. It's going to be hosted this year by big Disney fan Neil Patrick Harris. It's going to be a little bit showbiz. It's in a huge arena. It's the first one that Josh D'Amaro will be hosting as the big CEO of Disney. In terms of Disney World, I'm not expecting too many big announcements. I think we'll get a lot of timelines and details. A lot of things have been announced. We know Villains Land is coming to Magic Kingdom. Maybe we'll get a more of a timeline. Maybe we'll get more details of the attractions that are going to be in there. People are talking about this Maleficent coaster. We'll probably get more details of Piston Peak as well, the Cars attraction over at Magic Kingdom. Maybe we'll find out a little bit more about Tomorrowland. Rumours around that Space Mountain is going to be getting a bit of a refit, hopefully a brand new Space Mountain. That would be very nice. In fact, in maybe all of that area, maybe Tomorrowland at Magic Kingdom, and maybe we'll get some surprise announcements for that, because we know that Carousel of Progress is going to, well, it's gone down, hasn't it, for a brand new refurb there. We've still got that empty Stitch is Great Escape location, there's nothing in there. Maybe the Monsters, Inc. laugh floor is going to be changed because we've got Monsters, Inc. Land coming to Hollywood Studios. So maybe we'll find out more about what's happening at Hollywood Studios. And of course, the Animal Kingdom, what's going on over there with Tropical Americas. Maybe we'll get some dates about that. Encanto and Indiana Jones. Maybe we will find out more about what else is coming to Animal Kingdom, because, you know, really, come tea time, there's nothing there. And the park most nights is closed by like 6 o'clock. But I think when that new land opens, there'll be more demand for that park. So it will have to stay open later. Will they put a nighttime experience in around that lake? Maybe a drone show. I mean, there's no reason why they can't do a drone show. I don't think we're going to get too many surprises. I would love one big surprise for Walt Disney World, something a bit out of the blue that's not expected. I'd really love that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. And then, of course, we've got Paris. We've got the brand new Adventure World. We've already got Frozen that has opened. We know that Lion King is coming. Maybe we'll get more details of that land. Maybe, I think we'll get a couple of more lands coming there. Star Wars, do you think? There's rumours that we'll get a Star Wars land, that bit, maybe Zootopia. And then we've got California as well. Maybe a Zootopia land would work very well in California. And then we've got the Eastern Parks. And then we've got the cruises. I know that the next cruise ship, the Disney Believe, I don't get many announcements about that because they've got a big launch event for that in October. So I don't know why that is so late. We'll have to see what happens at D23. Usually at this point, I would say I'll keep you updated on the socials on the Sunday morning, because it will happen in like very, very late night Saturday. In fact, the early hours of Sunday morning. But unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, I'm actually going to be on a Disney cruise this coming weekend on the Disney Dream from Southampton to Rotterdam. So I'll be in the middle of the sea. So I'll find out Monday morning when we dock. We'll finish the podcast with a top tip, as we always do. This one, are you tired of a set menu? A lot of the Disney restaurants now, you know, places like, Ahana is a set menu, and California Grill is a set menu. You've got to have the three courses, and you've got to pay the full. And maybe there's only one thing on the menu that you really wanted in the first place. Well, if you're sick of a set menu, go to the lounge, because you can still order individual items from the set menu rather than having the full three courses or two courses. You know, like Space 220 at Epcot, you can go for a two-course lunch or a three-course dinner, but you can also go to the bar. And I think it's actually better seating up there. I think you get a better view. So if there's somewhere you really want to eat and you don't want to have the set menu, have a look. Has it got a lounge? Often it's easier to get into as well. That is your top tip for this episode. Don't forget to follow us on the socials. We'll have all the pictures and videos, and then when I get round to it, announcements about D23. And we're back with a brand new episode in a couple of weeks' time, where we'll delve more into those D23 announcements. So hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star if you could as well. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.